Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. Today we have another guest episode. So welcome, Dolores. Welcome. It's good to have you on the podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Maybe you could start by saying something about who you are and what you do and why you're interested in languages.
Thanks, Kirsty. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here talking with you today. I'm an English into Spanish translator. As the same as you, I love languages and I have been studying English as my second language. My mother tongue is Spanish, South American, Latin American Spanish, because I was born and raised in Argentina. And I began when I was, 6 or 7 years old, learning English as a second language. And I love languages. So when I finished my school ages, I began studying to be a translator. And that is what I have been doing for the last many, many years, almost 30 years.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. How do you pronounce your full name properly?
Yes, my name is Dolores Rojo Guiñazú. That's the way it's pronounced in Spanish, but I love when people from other cultures and languages pronounce it differently with a different accent, so it's fine. And my company is Lift Value Translations and Consulting, and I also have a podcast, Attitude Double Podcast, in English and in Spanish.
Yeah, I think that was one of the first things we started talking about, because we met at a networking event at the beginning of this year. We're recording in 2024, so we've known each other for a few months. And I thought it was really cool that you have a podcast, because I'm always keen to talk to other podcasters. And also that you've created your podcast in two languages. So why did you decide to do that? And are there some differences between the English one and the Spanish one in terms of what you post on them?
Yes, I love your networking events and I try
to
be there every month because they are very enriching, inspiring, and you have a lot of language lovers gathering there.
I attract them.
Yes, it's fantastic. Thanks for doing that. And well, I began, as I told you, in the pandemic in 2020 with this as a challenge for myself, because as a translator, for those who don't know it, translators deal with the written world, not the oral word. So for us, speak up even in your own mother tongue, or imagine your second language, is kind of a challenge and nervous idea. But I wanted to do it in order to improve my oral skills. And when I began, with the help of my eldest son, who is the technological guru, let's say, who helped me with all the preparation, the hosting and all what it takes to have a podcast. I began only one, Attitudable Podcast, because I like the name, invented word, attitude plus able, mean your attitude and your ability and capacity to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I began it with some interviews. My podcast is about interviews in English and in Spanish with different authors that I admire. And then when listening to other podcasters, they say that it's when you have two languages or more than two, it is convenient or recommended to have like different channels. So people who only speak, for example, Spanish, may tune in to your Spanish podcast, or people in English to your English or German or Portuguese or whatever podcast. So I decided to split it into two. First, it was Attitudable podcast, and then after 1 year, it began Attitudable en Español and Attitudable podcast that is only in English. So I devote every conversation in English for the one that's only Attitudable, and in Spanish, the other one. So I hope it's good. I don't know. It's more work, but I think it's perhaps easier for people to find the conversation that they want to listen to.
Yeah, I guess some people who speak both languages, I'm not one of them. It's not one of my language pairs, but I guess for some people it doesn't matter because they can listen to both, or those who only speak one language can hunt out the one that they will understand. And listen to those. So when you find the people to come on your podcast, do you think that the type of conversations you have are the same on both podcasts, or does one tend to go more in one direction and the other in more in a different direction?
When I interview the guests, you mean?
Yeah, like if there's is there like do they have their own characters, the English one and the Spanish podcast, do they focus on different things, or is it the same topics just in different languages?
Yes, you in general it's the same topic, because my main topic, or the heart, let's say, of the podcast is language and communication. Like how you connect and in a way translate the message, for example, of an author. Last month in September, for example, I interviewed a Spanish author, a lady called whose name is Maribel Riaza, who wrote a book called The Voice of Books. And it's like the history of all when the book began, like the book, how we as humans connect with reading, you know?
Okay.
Like history, people began like not reading but speaking. Like reading is something pretty new, let's say, to history, because first it was the voice. So it was like very interesting to get to know this author and how she began the research and all that of her book. And usually the interviews are go, you know, through that way, like what inspired the author to write the book, the idea, and everything is related to communication and translation and connections, of course.
Okay, so speaking of communication, obviously having a podcast or two podcasts in your case means that you have to communicate with your audience and with your guests. How do you think that having a podcast has helped you as a speaker in terms of public speaking or connecting with other people?
It's fascinating because you get to know people that in other way they will not, I mean, you will not be able to reach them perhaps.
I love
Or,
this.
yes, because I always say, well, would you like to have your book, for example, translated into Spanish? Or, but sometimes they have their own publishing company or their own, you know, editors and all that, so they are not interested in translating. But an interview is always a good idea, because they want to promote their own art, and they want to, you know, make it all the world to know about this. So it's a way of connecting and getting to know people that I admire, and I want to know more. And I think it's very enriching and inspiring. And it helps me to, as I told you, to speak more in my second language and improve my oral skills as well.
Yeah, I think it's great. Like I'm not doing anything in any of my languages at the moment, but I could imagine that is maybe a challenge at the beginning, and you have to kind of get past yourself a little bit and to know that you're going to be creating something and it's going out and it's going to be on the internet. And I would find that quite difficult initially, I think. But as a learning tool, you can definitely learn a lot. And I think, as you said, it gets you talking to people with whom you probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to speak. And that's really valuable as well. And I think I had the reason to look at one of my really early episodes today, because it was a resource that somebody wanted to use, and I was like, oh no, the audio quality of this is terrible. But then I thought, okay, well, if I hadn't learned anything in the last however many years, then what am I doing here? We have to see. Sometimes you have to look back to see that we've at least improved some things and changed some things. So that was
Exactly.
good.
Because we are always, transforming ourselves and learning. I think we will continue learning every single day of our lives, yes, till we die.
I hope
And
so.
yes, we have to.
Because I talk a lot on my posts about language learners, and I was thinking about that today, how many people would call themselves language learners. And I was thinking, however fluent I get, I think I will always see myself as a language learner, because even with your own language, you're still learning things, but especially additional ones, there's always something new to learn because language is changing and evolving.
Exactly. And we have to imagine the vocabulary. It's you will never learn, you will never know every word. You are always learning new ways of saying perhaps the same thing, but in a different way. How can you improve it and use other terms, synonyms, or new phrases that you can say the same, but in a different way as well.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's really important to keep learning. And I think last time when you were at the networking event, you were talking about education. Is that one of your topics as a translator? Is that one of the areas in which you like to work, or was that just a
Yeah.
one-off?
It's one of my fields of specialization because in 2005, I began translating school manuals for different districts in the US. And they usually have very long school manuals for people and parents and new students who, begin attending the new school. And they need to have it translated into Spanish, in my case, yes, from English into Spanish. So for more than, no, almost 20 years, I've been translating for schools, and they have a specific jargon, a specific terminology, lots of acronyms. You can't imagine how many acronyms they use. And it's fascinating, and I like it a lot. In fact, by the end of this month, I will be talking about it in a workshop on how to translate and localize also the different school manuals for the Spanish-speaking audience in the US mainly.
Yeah, I think many of the people who listen to the podcast will know what that means, but maybe you could give us an example of something you do to localize the manual. So, like an example of what that means in practical terms, so that people understand what you're doing. It's not just a translation job, but you're actually having to modify the content.
Yes, because there are specific words that sometimes, depending on your own culture, you know that language is very closely related with culture. Where are you coming from? Because Spanish, even though it's only one language, there are 23 different countries that speak Spanish. So this the language is has its own, perhaps, how can I say, terms that differ, slightly depending on the place where you were born. If it's in Argentina, in Chile, different parts of Latin America, in Spain, in Mexico, different parts of the world where Spanish is spoken. So, depending on your own culture, the word is different. You can say, for example, a word in Spanish that I can say. Let me think about it
Sorry,
now.
that was putting you on the spot there, asking for an example.
For example, how can I say in Argentinian Spanish or Latin American Spanish, let's say we say a chico, like a girl or a boy, a chico, a chica, yes? And perhaps in Mexican Spanish, you say a buey. It's the same word in Spanish, but it's a different terminology, you know, it's differently localized because when you are translating informally, you say the girl has just arrived or whatever. And in Mexican Spanish, you will say the same, but when you translate it in Mexico or for a Mexican student, let's say, or for Latin American student, the sentence will be the same, but the term will be differently translated because you want that student to feel familiar with the sentence, to understand it as if he were, for example, in Mexico, in this case, yes? If it's for Mexico or for Latin America or for Spanish Spain, yes, that is also different Spanish. You can understand it in general, but if you want to have it localized specifically for the place, you have to do it in that way, taking into account the culture. I believe it's the same for Portuguese as you are learning from Portuguese Portugal or Portuguese Brazil. It's the same language, but it differs slightly.
And so your goal is to create something that is more generic to be understood across a wider range of speakers, or your goal is to create something that's very specific for Argentinian Spanish?
No, it depends on the request, but the idea is to have it more neutral so everyone can understand. But some schools ask you to do it specifically to their own audience. If it's a state, for example, who has more Latin American or Mexican students, they needed to have it more localized for that specific public or audience. But if not, you tend to use it more general, so everyone who speaks Spanish or can understand it perfectly well.
Yes, it's making either making people feel more included or not making them feel excluded by saying something that's only relevant to a smaller percentage of the audience who'll be reading it or accessing the information.
Exactly. It happens, for example, when you have a text translated with a machine, with AI, that the person who is reading it can understand because it's sometimes very well translated. But there's something that is missing. So sometimes they call me and they say, the student says that he can understand, but it's not clear what is the message, you know, because there's no, perhaps there are two or three words that are not connecting properly, and that's the emotion and the message is not well transmitted. So there you have to go, the human translator has to polish it and edit it in a way that the person who will read it in that specific language will understand it.
Yeah, so you can't cut out the human part of this process without losing something
Exactly.
important.
That's the idea because it's, as in, I believe, all parts of the world, we tend to reduce costs. So the work that perhaps I used to do, or many translators began like translating from scratch a whole text, this is very different today, yes? But still, we need to use technology and embrace it, but we need to make the human touch so the message and the sentences are well understood and not like automatically, written, because we like to speak with humans, not with machines.
And is that what you're trying to achieve with your talk or your seminar, to explain
Yes.
to people why it's important, or to help people who want to start this career?
Yes, both ways to I think there's a lot of work to do here, because learning and schools will always be, I hope people will continue learning and teaching, and it's a field with a lot of good future. I think there's a lot of things to do and improve and keep on doing. And even though technology is present and helps a lot, we have to be very careful on the messages, the communication, the way the things are translated.
Yeah, I think it's something that's really important. Like, education is important. It's the way that, the new generations will be learning, and I think it's important if you can have a role in making sure that that's done
Yes.
well, or that the translations, that the manuals are done well. Then I think it's an important thing to be involved in, and it's something that's not going to run out, because, as you said, people will always need to keep learning something.
Yes, and as you are, a teacher, I think that there's many apps and technology and all that, but we like to learn from a human, or we need that human touch, yeah, the human connection, so I believe it's for up to now. I don't know in some years what will happen, but for the moment, I think it's necessary to have it reviewed and edited and seen, checked and proofread by a human professional translator who is an expert on that language.
Yeah, I think people, a lot of what I do as a teacher isn't really about teaching. A lot of it is the human connection, helping people also, obviously, to understand what they're doing, but it's also about mindset. It's about how people want to negotiate the challenge that they have. And I think you can't take the person out of the process, maybe in 50 years or something, but I won't be worrying about it then.
Yes, we will see.
But certainly for the foreseeable future. And then I was thinking about, I've had a couple of people who've been on the podcast who are also podcasters or content creators, and especially those who are creating content in additional languages. And I was wondering if you have any advice for anyone who's listening to this, who's thinking about doing this. Maybe they want to start a podcast in English or another language that's an additional language for them. What advice would you give someone, because you're already some way down this road already?
Wow, yes. I believe that we share this passion, that we like being podcasters, right? It's a very good way to speak up, to share your passion, your craft with the world, and in a way to leave your own voice as a legacy, let's say, for future generations. So I think your voice gets recorded, and despite the accent, the pronunciation, the typos, let's say, the mistakes that we make when talking, that's different than the writing part, that you can take your time to improve, to check, to control the grammar, the sentence structure, the way I said, oh no, this was not correct. Wow, no, I made a mistake. It's done, it's done, it's spoken. So I think it's also a learning path every time. And I really enjoy it. I think it's very enriching and inspiring for me as a host. And I really recommend everyone to have their own podcast. Like, you have your own social media, for example, your social media challenges, your channel, sorry, to have your own podcast because it's another media, social media, let's say, to share your work, your experience, everything. So I think it's very good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and it's something that once you have your listeners, it's not about whether a particular platform is promoting your content today and not tomorrow, or whether you're following some trend. It's if you can collect your own listener base, then and they've subscribed, then they will get your podcast, or that you can promote this podcast on any platform where you feel that you want to be. So it doesn't tie you to one social media channel, because you can promote your content anywhere, and that's something that makes it a bit more yours, I guess. You're building something of your own. Okay, you have to host it somewhere, and I'm aware of that. But in terms of growing your audience, you're less dependent on other social media channels' algorithms, because it does take time. You're not going to have your listener base will take time to grow, especially if it's something new, but then that's your time to really start learning as well before you're speaking in front of a bigger audience. But
Yes, exactly. And I think it's every one of us is unique. And despite many colleagues who say, ah, yes, but everyone now has a podcast. What's the point? That's a lot of work. And no, but you will do it differently because you are not the same as me, as you. You know, each one has our own spark, let's say. So if you like talking and sharing your content, as you said, Kirsty, because you are producing content and sharing it with your own community, it's worth the effort.
yeah, and I do think it, on one hand, I think there's always something more to learn, and I don't think we can ever afford to get complacent. But on the other hand, I think some things definitely get easier the more you do it. A bit, you can relax a bit more. There's still new things to learn, and I don't think we should ever think that we've stopped learning, because that's when you stop growing. But I think like the first time it's like, oh, do I really want to click publish? I don't know. But now I don't feel like that. So I think it does get easier.
Yes, and it helps us to remember that done is better than perfect because perfect doesn't arrive. So we make mistakes every time, but we keep on showing up and delivering our show to the world. So it's good to be more, as you said, resilient, perhaps.
Yeah, and kind to yourself as well. Like if you make a mistake, or you say something you didn't mean to in that way, be kind. But some things we can fix, but some things it's not the end of the world, and probably nobody else noticed. So yeah.
Yes, and to enjoy it more, perhaps. Yes, to be more relaxed and not so nervous. At the very beginning, I was like so nervous. And I said, well, this is, something that I like, that I enjoy, that I want to know, to improve, to grow. And it's not like life or death, So I tend to enjoy it more.
Yeah, I tend to think of it like, oh, I'm going to have a nice conversation with whomever, and then other people, we're going to share it. We're going to be generous and share it with them, rather than, oh, I'm going to record this episode for the, I do want the listeners to enjoy it and to benefit from it, but I try to think about, oh, it's just us here having this conversation, and then we share it later.
I wish I were there with you, like drinking or sharing a coffee in a very beautiful place by your home. But I feel like that in the virtual world, yes, like you in UK, I mean Argentina, but sharing this special conversation like friends.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you said, coming back to what you said earlier, it's the way to make new connections and to make new friends. Some of my podcast guests have definitely become friends, and I think that's lovely, even if we've never met, not yet. I still have a plan to do like a podcast guest meeting tour. That would be
You
so much
have
fun.
to, yes, we will all travel and go there. Yes, that would be great.
Would
It
be
wouldn't
great.
be a Kirsty.
Yeah, or maybe like a bring people together. I'm going to do a virtual meetup for the podcast next year because the podcast will be 10. Actually, it was one of my listeners who pointed that out. I wasn't paying attention, but yeah, oh yes, your podcast will be 10 next year. I was thinking, okay, we should do something. So I think I will have some kind of thank
Congratulations.
you.
Great.
I'll do some kind
Amazing.
of virtual meetup.
Yes, we have to celebrate because it's a great milestone. It takes a lot of commitment, discipline and effort to keep it coming and growing.
Yeah, I lost my way a bit in the middle, like around the pandemic time. I didn't publish as regularly as I do now, but then I met new people, I got new inspiration. I've never believed in just putting content out to have content. If I didn't have anything to say, I didn't say anything because that's how I live, and I don't need to keep talking if I don't want to add anything. But now I've met all these interesting people and I think it's really good. So I'm glad to be publishing episodes more frequently and yeah, meeting lots of cool people. So I'm going to create a web page for our episode and I'm going to put all the links on. So if you speak Spanish, then you can find the Spanish link. And if you speak English, you should definitely check out the English one as well. And I will add all of the links there. And then we're both on LinkedIn. So if you want to come and find either of us on LinkedIn, then you'll be able to do that as well. So I just want to thank you for your time today and for sharing your ideas. Is there any last thing you want to add or share or?
Thanks a lot, Kirsty. I really enjoyed our conversation. I love your podcast, your networking gatherings. I try to be present. And thanks a lot for the inspiration, for the connection, for the this idea to always keep on learning
Hmm.
and improving our languages because the language is our gateway to connect
Yeah.
and to live better lives. So thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you. And for anyone who wants to find out about these events that we're talking about, the events for language professionals, you can sign up to the new newsletter now on LinkedIn, or to my newsletter on Englishwithkirsty.com. The one on my website has got more information. The other one is mainly about the events, but if you work in some way with languages, then we look forward to meeting you soon, either at the networking event or the one for language exchange, because we have both. There's one of each month. So thanks again. I've really enjoyed our conversation and see you soon.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.